Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
The GLC with Gary Norris Gray. Call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athletes, Sports Network, and the BASNNewsroom.com for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Code. Send news and information to glcgray@gmail.com. Got to listen to the brothers on the African American Athlete Show.com with Michael Robinson and Ricky Hansen, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 Eastern Time, Tuesday night on blogtalkradio.com. The Mighty Oba, formerly from WUFO 1080 Buffalo, New York, will start their season in the Minor Football League with the Rochester Chargers. Also check out his SoundCloud podcast every week at 11 Pacific, 2 Eastern Time, Soul Tree Radio, In the Raw with Michael Lewis Ingram, with hard political and social sports news. Sunday night, it's the Musical Mindstream after the Music Box Hour. On Wednesday night, it's the Political Stir Fry at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific time. At 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern time, Sunday night, listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on The Anthony Johnson Show, sending brotherly love over the airwaves and political food for the soul from the city of Philadelphia. Our sponsors, the New England Informer magazine, Doreen Wade, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts, good news for the black community. Young star Travis Singleton with his Kicks for Praise in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Also check out his program, The Sneaker Report, as he covers the Oklahoma City Thunder and Boston Celtics, as well as the other NBA teams. Remembering Rolling Rogers, CEO of BASN in New York City, and the family of BASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Be a sponsor. Check in the Cove Caravan. Email glcgray@gmail.com. Join the Cove Caravan and the Soul Patrol on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.basnnewsroom.com. Call the Gray Leopard Cove at 646-727-3649.
Thank you, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a blessed week.
Thank you. You have a blessed week, too. And I know this show, as all of the other ones, are going to be fantastic.
Well, it's going to be spooky now. It's going to be spooky now, man.
I'll be listening.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, my
thank you, my brother.
Thank you, boys and girls. We have an issue today. And the issue is, if you're an employee, your employer, and this employee has not worked for you for 7 years, hasn't done anything for you for 7 years, would you hire that employee? Would you give him money for doing nothing? This is what the NFL has done. The Jacksonville Jaguars signed Tim Tebow. Now, we all know who Tim Tebow is. Tim Tebow was at the University of Florida back in the 90s. Tim Tebow played for the Jets. He played for the Denver Broncos, and he played for numerous other teams. Tim Tebow is now going back as a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You have got to be kidding me. But before we do that, we got to do this. Where is it? Okay, what I'm going to do now is
Tim Tebow. Apparently, he is likely to sign with the Jaguars as a tight end.
We know what this is about. This is not about the guy's ability.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are planning on signing Tim Tebow back.
Yeah!
Last time he played in the NFL was 8 years, 4 months, and 10 days ago.
He's not a tight end. The only way he makes this team and gets on the field is because he has a friend. His friend is now the coach of a team, and his friend truly, truly loves to be around him. This is, to me, a non-story.
But my question to you, you keep telling me about these intangibles. How do intangibles don't catch passes? Intangibles don't move defensive linemen. Intangibles don't pick up hot routes.
There are people in Jacksonville that I know are weary
of Tim Tebow coming to this organization, obviously the circus that surrounds him.
Skip, let's be real. Tim Tebow has a hard time getting away from Tim Tebow to professional athlete.
Well. Tim Tebow, at 33 years old, the man who rose to fame as a quarterback whose career completion percentage stands under 48%, has signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars at a position he has never performed or excelled at, tight end. The last time he played in the league with Rex Ryan's New York Jets in 2012, teammates ripped him to the New York Daily News. But there is that one guy. What's his name?
I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed.
Black and brown communities are being disproportionately devastated by COVID-19.
It was really just a personal decision where, you know, I didn't agree with what was going on.
Ah, yes, Colin Kaepernick, whiteballed out of the league since the 2016 NFL season because he believes that systemic racism exists, because he believes Black Lives Matter, and because Black Americans suffer from racism in policing. So, of course, Trump-supporting Doug Gottlieb of Fox Sports Radio couldn't wait to get his shots in.
But here's the biggest thing. Tebow is willing to take nothing, change positions to just play football. None of that has been the case with Colin Kaepernick.
So for Doug Gottlieb, when he's not stealing his classmates' credit cards or cheating on tests while getting a slap on the wrist because he's a white man in America, well, he thinks Colin Kaepernick should change positions? What the hell? The facts are simple in this case of white MAGA losing it over us reminding the world Cap has been intentionally unemployed for 1,532 days. What you have is Gottlieb, a shell of a man who praised Donald Trump for winning in the player protest debate.
You know, when they offered him that, whatever, that showcase workout on their, you know, on a team's facility, he balked at the last second and didn't want to do it. I don't want to play football.
Showing how big of a problem he is, and in media, by giving anyone a microphone. The point of contention, Doug, was, well, this.
How was the waiver that the NFL gave to Kaepernick different from what they would have given to any other free agent walking into tryout?
Well, because it had a certain clause in it that said you cannot take any action for anything that takes place inside of the grounds, and not just injury.
This is acclaimed author and journalist Howard Bryant.
This document said that you cannot take any action about anything, any and all actions that occur. And what they're really talking about is what happens after Colin works out. Suppose he sits down with the NFL, with a team, any given team, and that team asks you, if we sign you, do you plan on kneeling? And if you say, and if Colin Kaepernick said, yes, I plan on kneeling, and then suddenly he doesn't get signed, then he has waived his right to take any action as a collusion lawsuit, because right then and there, that question is collusive.
Yo, Doug, why didn't you mention this? Is it because you continue pandering to Trump supporters who suppress the truth, or is it because you just don't know a lick on this important subject? It would arguably constitute malpractice for a lawyer to allow the client to sign the release that was presented to Kaepernick, given the past legal battle between Kaepernick and the league. Also, very important point here, was the NFL did not allow Cap's media team to film the workout. The NFL wanted to control everything through their own deceit, just like you are now. But hey, leave it to Doug Gottlieb, y'all.
I don't know why you guys asked me. I'm just here to bring diversity to this set here, give the kind of white man's perspective.
If you'd like to hear more thought-provoking content like TYT Sports on Facebook and to help in my journey to keep media independent, go to TYT.com/Rick.
Let me go back to the Tim Tebow issue. This man has not played one game. One game, as tight end. Zero! As tight end. He gets a guaranteed contract. Hasn't played a lick for 8 years. Okay? Colin Kaepernick is a distraction. Colin Kaepernick can't play because he's been out of the league too long. What the hell is Tim Tebow done? And this is the old boy that worked at Play him. He won't last 1 year. I'm going to tell you why. The defense calls a blitz. Tebow misses an assignment. He runs his ass over. Where's your prime objective of your gym, of your team? Is the quarterback, correct? You have a rookie quarterback right now in Jacksonville. You have to protect that rookie quarterback. Tim Tebow will not do it, I guarantee you. And Michael Lewis is going to say, I guarantee you, he will not do it. So what is Tim Tebow doing? What is he there for? Tim Tebow is there to be buddy buddies with his coach. That's what this is about. Not about football. I'll tell you something, folks. I'll tell you straight up. That locker room is gone. Already. It's even ain't started yet. Because Jose's house.
Yeah, Gary, I'm here. Listening to your topics here on Tebow, and your last comment intrigued me that Urban Meyer wants to be buddy-buddy with a player that he coached, what, 7 or 8 years ago? Why does he need to reach so far back to bring in effect, you know, a former student? It's like a professor bringing in a student, which was their relationship at the time, coach and player, in the college level. Why would he have to reach so far back to bring in a player from so many years ago to be his wingman, if you will?
Mr. Meyer is like Mr. Saban. Mr. Meyer is like the college coach that did Florida. These college coaches, this is the difference between college and pro. A college coach will tell a boy to go do something and he has to do it. Now you fool around and do that and pro and see what happens. Okay? That's why I say we went back to Alabama. Because he couldn't tell a player what to do. Okay? That's why Jimmy Joshua lasted 3 years. Okay? And I'll tell you right now, Mr. Meyer is going to last a year. Why? Because he undermined his locker room. You do not win football games by a locker room. He's lost already. I would guarantee that the Jacksonville Jaguars will only win 2 games in that. Because the black players ain't going to have it.
Yeah. Let's talk about Kaepernick a little bit. And let me flesh this out because I know you disagree with me. And I want to let you have the opportunity to basically rebut my points, but let me get them all out. My concern about Kaepernick is he has, separate from the kneeling issue, he has too much baggage. Let me break this down. With his last tryout, the NFL did pull a sneaky on him, said, okay, on a Tuesday afternoon, show up on Saturday for a tryout at a given place. The tryout was going to be closed. He agreed to that on short notice, but then once he got there, he switched it to another location. And even Hugh Jackson, a black coach who was there to observe the tryout, left. in part because of scheduling, but in part saying, hey, you know, it was going to be at place X, now it's at place Y. I'm not going to participate in this foolishness. I'm out of here. The other thing is, and this is going to really gripe management, and it was Kaepernick standing up for his own personal health, was he kind of manipulated the injury issues in terms of timing his surgery to his own financial advantage and waited for a certain point before scheduling his surgery that it would vest into the next season and he would get guaranteed payment and stuff like that. So I think when management looks at that, they look at an employee who's standing up for his rights, but they're saying, well, you know, you don't understand the game. This is not an employee running the show. This is management running the show. So those are the points to me. And, of course, he did sue the league, and he settled the league with the league. And I think it's very difficult for once someone, again, asserting their rights, sues the league to be come back, welcome back with open arms. And I'll take your rebuttal.
Number one. The tryout was changed not by Kaepernick, but by the league. That was a league decision. Number two, Colin Kaepernick has been out for only about 4 years, 5 years at a time. Mr. Tebow is out for 8 years. What are you doing? Tim Tebow should not be playing, period. Okay? Why? Because he hasn't played the position at all. What are you doing?
Yeah. And he was basically a washed out. Even when he came in at his so-called prime, he was kind of a washout.
So yeah, but his skills, and Michael Lewis and Lewis say, the boy ain't shit, okay? Because this is why I say this. At the University of Florida, there was a guy named Mitchell Leak. Look him up. Quarterback of Florida. Mitchell Leak would take the team down 20-yard line, and guess who would come in? Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow would take the team from the 20-yard line to the end zone. Why did he do that? Why did Meyer do that?
Well, what race was the first quarterback who watched the game? Okay.
Leak did this for 2 years.
Well, I would
so
think that would
Tim
have to
Tebow
be...
Tim Tebow comes in the NFL and he can't guide a team. Why? Because the only guy in the Florida Gators was 20-yard line. Hello?
Yeah. Well, that had to have been a very unusual approach in the first place to be platooning in that manner.
But nobody brings it up. Nobody says that. ESPN won't say it. Huh? Why? See, this is the kind of bullshit that keeps coming up.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I mean, other than, you know, the obvious factors of, you know, race and just playing ball and, you know, with the powers that be and not being very imaginative, why does no one else track these points that you raise?
Because, hello, who runs ESPN? Who is the executive of ESPN?
Yeah, but there's a black audience out there.
Hello,
I mean, there's a... Yeah, but there's a loyal black audience out there that watches the games. And, again, you can't underestimate the power of you know, the black pocketbook. you know, you've got people who work, who buy products, who have money to spend, who watch the games, who subscribe to ESPN. And
Last year, we had an epidemic, right? Last year we had no fans in the dead, right? What did the WNBA player do after in Kentucky, after they got bleed off in the gunshot? What did the lady do in the WNBA? They said, enough is enough. We're not playing basketball today. That's what it's going to take. Because America only understands, I can tell you this.
Right.
America only understands two things. That's money and violence. You understand both of those things. Either one is the answer.
Right. Yeah, I want to shift, if I can, to another topic that that you've raised, the Tokyo Olympics, and the athletes gathering amid the COVID ongoing situation, and another point you raised, concern about the Fukushima water issue.
That's right.
Now Fukushima is...
Olympic swimmer, I ain't going to Tokyo.
No, but Tokyo is quite far from Fukushima. And the water and the controversy in Fukushima is the dumping of the radioactive water into the ocean, not filling swimming pools with it in Tokyo.
Where did they get the water from?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess it's not from the holding tanks of Fukushima.
No, but they get it from Pacific Ocean, correct?
I don't know that. You know, just like we're here in California, we don't get much of our water from the Pacific Ocean. I don't know if, you know, but that, again, it's an interesting point you raise. I don't know the facts. You know, I don't know if Tokyo or Japan.
If I am a kayaker or anything to do with water, I ain't going.
Has there been any traction of that thought? Any organized protest or concern?
There are a few countries that have pulled their teeth already. See, there's no joke here. The radioactivity is 1,000 years. You're not going to get rid of radioactivity.
Right.
You got a problem here. And the Tokyo, the people of Japan, and I'll be honest, up front about it. I ain't going.
Right. Let me ask you, has this been covered in any great detail?
No, because, again, it's money. Anything to deal with money, they try to cover it up. Look, the Olympics have been delayed 1 year already, right? They want to delay another year. Why? Because it runs into the 2024 Olympics. That's why they don't want to cancel it this year. They got an attendance problem. What are they going to do about it? I don't know.
Huh?
I'll tell you what. If they can't do it this year, guess what? Don't do it ever at all.
Right.
That's money, bro.
Right. So your take is that these Olympics will go forward.
Oh, yeah, they will. They will go on.
I see.
They will go on. COVID or no COVID, they will go on.
All right.
Money dogs, BS from the marathon.
it's always interesting, you know, the topics that you identify and find that are simply not being covered elsewhere. Do you ever write a letter to ESPN, or do you submit a story saying, hey, why don't you cover this?
I've written that many times.
Do you get any response?
Well, I was on one with the Kaepernick one. I got answers from them. Yeah. It was like, thank you for your interest and I'll see you later.
Yeah.
I have no political power, so I'm like, okay, yeah, let's move on.
Right.
If I was Obama or a Reverend Jackson, they didn't pay attention.
Right.
And that's okay. I get it.
Yeah. Another item that kind of crossed my interest this week. You know, we look at the once almighty Golden State Warriors are kind of basically now a 500 team, may get in the playoffs, may not likely to do much in the playoffs. But I'm looking at the joy and the exuberance that Steph Curry is playing with. And to me, his level of joy and exuberance is at a level that is rare in the NBA. You see, some folks are just workmanlike, you know, hard workers, grinding out.
There are many players who play for the joy of the game.
Do you think Curry displays it to a greater extent?
Some people display it more than others. Right. The beard enjoys the game, but you would never tell by the way he goes to the floor.
Right.
It's the way his personality
is.
Curry is an outward personality. The beard is not. You have LeBron James. He loves the game, but people would never know it.
Well, that's my point. I mean, LeBron is a guy who's kind of, for the most part, kind of stone-faced. And Curry is not, and that's the point that I'm trying to make. A person who, you know, really exhibits joy for the game and is performing at a very, very high level and carrying his team in a very difficult year.
There's a reason why African American players do not express their emotions on the floor, on the court, on the field. Because they get criticized for it. Or they get penalized by it. Now, I know I told you this before. They're gonna get them by Curry sooner or later. They're gonna get them. Why? Because that's what the sports industry does.
Right, and
only
to be specific on that point, I think
against Curry.
I think you believe they're gonna turn against him about his use of the three pointer. And they're going to say at some point that contaminated the game or ruined the game?
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to put it on him for that. Yeah.
It's coming.
Right. Well, it's been a remarkable year watching him. And, you know, they've had some, a few uncharacteristic big losses. But they've also whooped some teams by big margins. And it's interesting that when
you have too many rookies at the same time.
Right.
You have five rookies on a team. Five that are playing out, but that's where you get this up and down, yo-yo team. Because And that's what it was like. Right, they got too many young guys. And they can world beater one day and look like Little League the next.
Right. But Curry has really picked that team up, and I guess what I'm saying, too, not only the joy of playing, but the degree to which he has really put that team on his back, and he's carrying them. You know, a lot of the games are close games. You know, they would not be Warrior wins were it not for Curry being way up in the double figures. He's
Curry,
also
Curry should be the MVP of the league, but he won't be.
Right.
Why? Because it gets ended.
Right.
MVP right. will go to Embiid or Oladipo. Or Irving, or one of those guys in the East Coast. That's where the MVP is going. You know, it becomes the logical. This is the way the NBA runs.
Yeah. Have you noticed? You used to call him Little Skinny Curry. Do you notice that he's bulked up this year? Much
he
more muscular.
Bulked up last year.
Yeah.
He during the COVID season, he changed. That's what he changed. The Golden State Warriors were out of the playoffs early last year, and he went home and did his homework. Why? Because he had ankle injury. Remember the ankle injury he had?
Right.
And then he broke his wrist. He said, all right, that's it. I'm done with this. I'm bogging up.
Right.
Has he been injured this year?
No.
Thank you. Nope. There you are.
All right.
And more players do this, they would not get hurt. What Curry did last year, everybody in the NBA should be doing. But they won't. Because they're not mandatory to do so.
Right.
That's the difference between the college and the pro. A college kid, the coach says you
gotta
do A, B, Z.
Yeah.
The pro, you're on your own.
Yeah. Hey, another topic. This occurred to me this week, And I know we've commented on the result, but I don't know that we ever commented on the process. What caused the huge decline in numbers of black athletes in Major League Baseball? How did that slippage occur?
That's easy. That started 30 years ago. It started.
Right, but it's been a process. And that's what I was thinking. So we know it was a process. We know it started 30 years ago, and we see the result today. But what was it 30 years ago that started that process?
This is how it started. You have minor leagues, right, all across the country, correct?
Well.
You're an 18-year-old kid. Right? You play baseball very well. The white kid goes to BYU or LIU or whatever. He gets MLB the guys watching him as he plays college baseball. College baseball all across the country is good baseball. The white kid gets drafted by the major leagues while he's playing in college. The black kid has to go to the minor leagues.
Right.
You have said this before about minor leagues.
Yeah. Let me stop you on that point, though.
Okay,
No, I know that, but I want to ask a question for clarification here. We take Reggie Jackson, who went to college, University of Arizona, I believe, again, so here we have a black player coming out of the college ranks. Why do we not have black players in baseball coming out of the college ranks?
How many? Okay, I'm going to see how intelligent you are. How many black players play at the University of California, Berkeley? How many?
I couldn't tell you.
Three. How many at Stanford? Two. How many at Santa Clara? One. Okay. How many teams are at college team? 20. Ask that question again.
But again, why don't you know all those universities you just cited are all elite universities? You know, what about other universities that are not so intellectually elite, but that have
universities here?
But
every
might even be baseball.
College,
but
every college in America does this. SIU, my school, SIU has 20 players. Two are black. My sister's school, Indiana State, 20 players, two are black. If you're a black player, you had to be Superman or AD, right?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Say in the era that Reggie Jackson came up, say in the 70s, late 60s.
It wasn't no different.
I see. Okay.
So, only the real good bad players get picked in the college team.
I see.
Okay, let me ask. Okay, what about Barry Bonds? Where did Barry Bonds play?
Again, Arizona.
Thank you. Arizona State. Okay. Everybody knew who Barry Bonds was too, right?
All right.
Okay. Look, this has been going on for 30 years. Nothing new. And if you're a black kid, 12 or 13 years old, you ain't playing baseball. You're playing football, basketball. Why? Because you know you have a chance to get to the NBA or NFL. You know I have a chance to make the baseball. These kids need that.
Right.
They ain't stupid.
Right.
So here we are, 2021, and we have 61 black players in Major League Baseball. Are you kidding me? 61. We have three teams have zero black players. Three. Come on, man. And the reason why is because the minor leagues kids cannot wait. 5 years in the minor league, they can't wait.
Right. And you've got the Latinx player who can and will come up and struggle through the minor leagues looking for that opportunity.
That's right.
Yeah. And then it actually goes back. We were talking about this. I think there was an article that talked about it might have been related to the a new book came out about Larry Doby entering the league and kind of manipulation. I mean, Jackie Robinson did spend some time in the minors. Larry Doby went immediately from the Newark Grays in one weekend to the Cleveland Indians. And there was an owner who was...
I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask you a question. When Larry Doby went to the Cleveland Indians. And then the Cleveland Indians compensate the New York Eagles for the salary dummy.
I don't believe they did, no.
They did not. They did not. And the what Major League Baseball did to the Negro Leagues, it should be in jail. To be in jail. Because what they did was rob the Black Leagues. Jackie Robinson, right? The Overstead Rays. The Kansas City Monarchs, the Indianapolis Clowns, the Birmingham Black Bears,
and wasn't there also a side topic, and you may have these facts better than I do, where one owner was. Something about, you know, renting out his stadiums to the black, to the Negro Leagues, but he was also bringing up Latinx players.
The Homestead Rays, yeah, the Homestead Rays in Washington. Washington, and do you know that the Homestead Rays out attended and the Washington Senators, they had more people at Homestead Rays games than Washington Senators games. Yet, it was the Negro Leagues.
Right.
And when the Negro Leagues said, we need compensating, the guy said, okay, you're not gonna be able to buy the stadium anymore. He had to go to Homestead, Florida. See, this is the kind of stuff that most the average American does not know, and does not care.
Right. Right, the deep backstory, right. Anyhow, I'm going to run. I want to thank you for, clearing up some of these lesser-known stories and putting attention on stories that are not being covered elsewhere. You know, you would think that enterprising journalists, you know, who are always hungry for a story, you know, always have to feed the next day's hungry media beast, would dig these stories out, but they don't. But I'm glad you do.
It's not advantageous to them. It's not advantageous to them. It goes against the body that feeds them. The body that gets their salary at the end of the day.
Right, but the whole thing with media now, with the internet particularly, is the battle for eyeballs, looking for clicks. Even the phrase clickbait, something that will bring your attention to get those eyeballs that they can say, okay, you know, we got, you know, 50,000 hits on this story, 500,000 hits. And I would think a story, you know, a story about radioactivity, that story is going to be radioactive. People are going to go, whoa, you know, that's going to draw attention, you know, and get you to the site so Facebook can place its site to sell you whatever they want to sell you. But we'll bring you to that site as opposed to, you know, some boring article about nothing.
But the Japanese government, I don't want you to read anything about stuff like that right now. Why? Because they need the money to compensate for the buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, but any of the alternate sports sites like the Athletic or the Undefeated or the Root, they aren't beholden to the Japanese government. You know, they're looking for clicks. And you know, why aren't they covering the story?
You had to get writers like Gary Norris Gray and Anthony McLean and Michael Lewis Ingram and Reggie L.
Right.
Man, people start reading people like that.
Right.
Because we don't care what the NHL says.
Right.
We don't care what the NBA says. We don't care what the NFL thinks about us. See, ESPN is beholden to the NFL. ESPN is beholden to the WNBA. So you're not gonna get stories that criticize the NFL or the WNBA. Why? Because they know where their bread is buttered.
Right.
It's like this Tim Tebow. This Tim Tebow is you. We all know it's a joke. But you have ESPN doing a 15-minute story on this. Are you kidding me? It's a non-story, Art.
Right. Right. Well, it's an odd story. I mean, it's a story. It's an odd story. It's such
it's
a fluky
odd
story.
Because he can't play tight end. He can't play tight end.
But that's why, you know they say when like they say when dog bites man, it's not a story, but when man bites dog, it is a story. That's why I think the Tebow thing is a story, because you got this guy biting the dog, and maybe he is the dog.
I'm a day what's happening. The first preseason game. If I am an NFL coach, I'm telling my guys, we're going to blitz Debo day and night until he falls down. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you drafted the number one quarterback in college. Your job is to protect that quarterback. Tim Tebow ain't gonna do that. So you got a problem.
Right.
And the quarterback changes the play in the middle of the game. Guess what? Tim Tebow will be like, whoa, what, where, when?
Right.
And he gets run over by a defensive end with twice his size.
Right. Right.
So what are you doing?
Well, I'm gonna go right now. I'm gonna go right now. I'm gonna go buy an insurance contract on Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm gonna make some money.
Tim Tebow is gonna get run over. Literally run over.
Right. Alrighty. I'm gonna run. I'm sure there's other people who want to get in on your show, so I'm gonna take off here. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you, my brother. We got Reggie in the house.
What's up, Big G?
Rolling
in on the
Sixes.
What's up, bro?
I'm still burning, bro. I'm still burning with
the
Tim Tebow over here.
Hey, look, first of all, it's a joke when Urban Meyer's trying to hire the racist-ass strength conditional coach from college, and it shows you Urban Meyer is incompetent already. This man has shown
that. Red, my thing is this.
Yes, sir.
Why would you sign a guy who had never played a position, who has been out of football for 8 years?
He's trying to get his pension, guys. He has a lifetime pension. He had so many years in the NFL. If he had did what he should have done 7 years ago and switched to tight end, he would have had his pension and probably would have had a long career. You know, he probably would have played another 2 or 3 years if he just switched positions. But it just shows you white privilege. That's all it is. Urban Meyer and him are buddy buddies. And what's going to happen is that when Tim Tebow doesn't hear a line call, when the center does a certain blocking assignment and he misses it, and somebody comes free, and oh my God, our billion-dollar new baby boy quarterback gets plastered. Oh, he has a separated wrist. He has a separated shoulder. He's out 4 to 5 weeks. The NFL already got certain games to showcase his back. What the ham sandwich would happen if he on the sideline hurt and the Jacksonville Jaguars are like, oh my God.
I'm gonna go blitz.
That's what's gonna happen. They're gonna mess around, and he's gonna get hit. He's gonna get hurt, and he won't make it through the season. And you're gonna have a lot of people pissed off. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
A lot of people pissed off about it. You know, again. You can everybody can say what they want to say, but Tim Tebow has no business. And when Rex Ryan stood there talking about, oh, he's a team player, or he's bringing the locker room together, he's the vices, man. Come on. But, Gary, when Booger McFarland, Mr. Conservative himself, goes off at Rex Ryan for Tim Tebow, that shows you how some NFL players feel, the disdain. You ask any former NFL player, if you got game, if you got good tape, guess what? Tape don't lie. If you can play, they're going to bring you in there. That's why Tom Brady can play 44 or 45. That's why Aaron Rodgers can play at 42 or 43. But Tim Tebow.
But why would you bring somebody in who has not played a down at that position?
Gary, I gotta check you again, Gary. We had this conversation before. Just be intellectually honest, Gary. Come on, be intellectually honest. Why is he coming in? Because him and Urban Meyer are buddies and he's doing him a favor. So he can make sure that he gets his NFL pension. Come on, Gary. This ain't
that's what this is about.
Hey, this is no different than corporate America. Well, I mean, again, Gary, you know yourself that they got buddies who look out for each other. The guy Myers made a bunch of money off of Tim Tebow, especially in college. He got him a new contract at Ohio State for what happened. And look, you remember when the guy Leaks that was quarterback for Florida? He did all the work, won a national championship for him.
Tim Tebow comes in there.
And he makes him the star guy. And again, guy, Tim Tebow has had white privilege since he's been in the NFL. Who drafted him with the first round? He was the first round pick by the Denver Broncos. Why?
Right.
Because the coach at the time was buddies with a friend of his, Tebow, and guess what it cost him? His job, Gary, his job. Because the boy ain't blank. I ain't like Mike. I can't say it like Mike, but the boy ain't blank.
Yeah.
And it start with sugar. The boy ain't sugar.
I said it wasn't anything.
Now, I let Dr. Evil say it the way he said it because it makes me cry when he says it. It feels so good. But, Gary, hey, Gary, let's talk about Liz Cheney getting kicked out of leadership position. Now, the Republican Party has shown me that they are now back to the party of the Barry Goldwater, the white supremacist racist that want to go back to the good old days. And for a person, a con artist like 45, the crap he did, and for them to follow this guy shows you the damage that COVID-19 did. COVID-19 put a lot of people in close proximity where they start reading and looking at different, should we say, theories, or should we say different conspiracy theories, where now we know people don't trust the government, but they done went off the deep end now, Gary.
The Republican Party needs help. They need a serious help because I ain't no Liz JD man.
Never have.
But what Liz JD is saying is correct. Liz JD is trying to get the party to come out of this bump that they're in. That is the Donald J. Trump bump. And he's move away from. And Liz JD tried her best to get him to turn the other way. And she got put out because she was saying too much.
Well, it's white supremacy and racism. You can make money being a white supremacist and a racist. And when Citizens United says, see, Gary, they got a lot of dark money coming in that nobody's not talking about. I don't believe all these people are raising money from these small people. I think you got a lot of overseas. I think you got the Koch brothers and other big-time dark money people bringing in money that they really can't account for, including...
I'm going to tell you what happened. In the election of 2020, they really thought they were going to win. They really thought they were going to win this thing. They really believed they were going to win. And what happened was, a lady in Georgia upset them.
Yep.
A lady in California upset them.
Yep.
A governor of New York upset them.
Yep.
So you have more people voting than ever before in the history of America. Ever.
Set a record. Yep,
you
set a record.
I'll tell you once again. I'll say it again. Every Democrat, registered Democrat voted, Republicans would never win. That's what they do.
Well, Gary, can I challenge you on that?
Go ahead.
Okay, number one, the Heritage Foundation is an organization that is a think tank that the Republicans do extremely well with, where they sit back and they do research and they do buzzwords in order to get people emotion riled up. No, I ain't done yet. Hold up. I ain't done yet. Okay, let me roll with this. And then I'll let you comment. Number one, if you notice, every Republican that goes on these Sunday talk shows identify with the same rhetoric. Number one, cancel culture. Number two, identity politics. You see each one of them looping it over and over again. That's number one. Number two, every Republican stands in line, and no matter how they feel, if the leadership tells them vote no, they vote no. They're disciplined, whether we like it or not. Number three, when it comes to talking points, every Republican, including the racist-ass Fox News, with that piece of trash, Tucker Carlson and Sean Insanity and Laura Ingraham, every time when they get on, they do the Republican talking point. They're the mouthpiece. And number four, well, anytime you see different articles wrote, I'm going to wrap it up, but anytime you see articles wrote, you see them in the big-time editorial pages looping the Republican talking points. And number five, when it comes to the Republican Party, they make sure that they use every avenue they can to get fundraising, to get new voters out. And the Democrats don't do it. Go ahead, Gary. You there, G?
Yeah. I got to cut off.
Probably my fault. Yeah, like I said, when it comes to the Republican Party, they make sure that everybody is disciplined when it comes to their talking points. They make sure, again, that when they go on these different talk shows, they make sure everybody repeats the same rhetoric. Number two, when they go on to these different editorial pages, they write the same column. And number three, when it comes to every Republican, they make sure they're disciplined. And they vote the way they are told. Democrats, you can't say that about. I mean, Representative Auntie Maxine Waters went out and made a strong, passionate speech against the George Floyd situation. What happened? You saw the Congressional Black Caucus not open a damn mouth. Only a few of the women did, but none of the men, including James Clyburn, said a damn thing to support her. Now, something's wrong with that picture, Gary.
Well, Republican, have always marched lockstep.
Yep.
Look, Red, they'll tell you the sky is green, and we all know the sky is blue. That sky is green, bro. That's what they do.
Yep. That's what they do. They make sure that they are locked up. And when you got
you're telling me that January 6th, 2021, did that happen? That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And people, Republicans, that believe that January 6th did not happen.
Tourists, Gary, isn't that what they say? They were just tourists. It was walking around. It was tourists. It was Antifa. The people pretending to be Trump people. I mean, again, the Harris Foundation has come out and say, push this lie, and a certain segment will believe it.
Wait, tourists do not kill people.
You know what I think? Yeah.
Tourists do not break doors.
Yep, and kill peace officers.
Bus on federal land.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what they did.
Yep, and your name defecate. Don't forget that.
And that's an animal over the place, but they did that too.
Mm. Yep, and scale walkers. And they call black people monkeys. They're like a bunch of monkeys. Scale up and down the wall.
Red, this country is it. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Grand McCover saying is, I want you to think about what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the verge of anarchy. I mean, what 45 did on January 6th, he should have been underneath the jail. Not in the jail, underneath the jail, for doing and saying what he did. You are the leader of the free country, and you do that. You out of your mind?
Hey, he said walking around free. He should have been locked up for what he did.
And then you have an attorney who lied his butt off.
Yep.
Consistently. And he's walking around free.
Don't forget that clown in Florida screwing underage girls, 17-year-old, that underage. Don't forget that.
Don't get me started. This is all gonna go crumbling down. And see, Liz Cheney, trying to give Republicans a way out.
They're not going to do it.
Mitch McConnell and his clowns,
they are not listening at all. Yeah, old Touche Turtle, he made sure that he stood there, old Rubberneck, and made sure he kept to the party line. Remember what Mitch McConnell said? If Trump ran again, of course he would vote for him.
Yes.
That's all you need to know.
Yes, he did say that.
That's all you need to know. When he say, if he runs again, I'll vote for him, you don't need to know no more else.
What is wrong? The my, Reg, if I have a three-year-old, four-year-old, and I tell a 3 or 4 year old, you can't do certain things,
mm-hmm.
and that 3 year-old does it anyway. What happens to that 3-year-old, Reg?
Hey, you spank that ass. You discipline.
Correct. The Republican Party right now is that 3-year-old. Republican Party has no discipline whatsoever. None. Because
I agree,
that 3-year-old, if you tell a 3-year-old, do not touch the stove. because his dome is hot.
That's what they do.
Republican Party doesn't dome anyway.
Yeah, well, it's about money and power, man. Any way they can get it, that's what they do. About money and power. And they don't care what they have to do
it. Right, well, I got you here. It's Virginia State and somebody else is going to join the MEAC. Is that really going to happen?
No, sir. The FF director, Ms. Peggy Davis, clearly stated in recent time dispatch that they will not be going to the MEAC. And see, as I said before, guys.
Why is that?
Well, number one, it's $1 million that you have to give the MEAC just for application fee. Number two, you have to be on probation 3 to 4 years to show that your program can sustain it. Now, Winston-Salem tried to go up to the MEAC some 10 years ago, and financially, they couldn't do it. Like one of the presidents say, hey, if you stop messing with my money as far as what's happening with academics, you can't stay, but you got to get the hell up out of here. So anytime a president would tell you point blank, I got to raise money, I got to keep the doors open, I got to have the doors open so we can have the accreditation. And they do not give a crap about athletics. Let's get that straight right now. As long as the athletics are there, they're going to make sure that they fix it some kind of way. And that's just the way it is.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Hey, just keep it 100, Gary. So,
well,
no, they're not going.
That means the MEAC is in real trouble then.
They lost 4 schools within the last 5 years. So why, if I'm Virginia State, if I'm West Kentucky, why would I come with number one, you don't have a TV deal.
Yeah,
you don't have a TV deal. You don't have a hotel deal. You don't have any type of national recognition, and you lost 4 schools. If anything, it's a money grab. And these people ain't stupid. They ain't going to do it.
They knew they was in trouble when A&T left.
Was one of the linchpins of it right there. They blew it then.
Yeah.
When
A&T
left,
A&T was like the linchpin, and they were doing very well in football. They were doing very well in football, too.
They got one of the baddest track teams out there.
Yeah,
yes, sir. And look, they had 3 national champions in track last couple of years, and they already won the indoor track and field for the MEAC. They got the baddest team out there in the MEAC right now, and they got a bunch of freshmen, and they got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores ready to run already. And he's already said he's ready to unleash these young men and women on the competition. They went up to the Penn Relay up in Penn Strain, Pennsylvania, and just wore it out. They came in the top 5 every different competition.
You know, this started about 10 years ago. This started when Hampton made overtures to the Ivy League. Hampton.
Well, you know what happened was
they were going to move to Ivy League.
Well, see, Hampton Endowment didn't have enough money to do that.
They went to the Big South instead.
No, actually, that's not true. They tried to go to the Colonial before they went to the Ivy League, and their only endowment in sports was $25 million. The lowest endowment in sports in the Colonial was between $35 to $40 million. And they told Hampton that basically they couldn't afford to come in.
Okay.
That's real talk. That's why they went ahead and go to the Big South. And the Big South is on a lower level than the Colonial.
Well, what is the situation with the CIAA?
The CIAA right now, they're supposed to have football in the fall, from what I've been told. So we're waiting for the media day. Once the media day comes, and then we should be okay.
So there will be ball, football, NCAA,
Yeah. They're going to have fall football. It's too much money to lose. They can't afford to lose the money. And some people are getting their shots, so already they're going to have herd immunity, but they can go ahead and start moving forward.
Man, you know, Roger Goodell said everybody in the NFL will be getting their shot before football will be played in the NFL.
a payroll must be met. A payroll must be met. We know how that goes.
Yeah, that right.
Yep, they're going to make sure they meet that payroll, buddy. And don't you forget it.
Yes, sir.
Yep, a payroll must be met.
I was like, okay, I said, Gary.
Hey, the bottom line is this. Tim Tebow got a friend of his to do him a solid, and that's all it was.
Yeah,
and when they got him a solid, then they looked out for him and moved forward. So I guarantee you, when he missed a block and that billion-dollar quarterback, baby boomer, gets hurt, somebody's going to pay for that.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer going to do more than preaching.
They had no business in the first place.
Well, Gary, that's white privilege, man.
In the first place.
Hey, if that's what he wants to base his job on, then guess what? He won't be there long.
I hope not. The NBA has a Hall of Fame. It's a Hall of Fame weekend.
Yeah,
Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett will be in. And I didn't notice that Ben Wallace will be a historical moment. Being the first undrafted player to be put in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Big Ben, he was the man.
Yeah,
Virginia Union's on, yes, sir. Big Ben, he had his business and kept it going.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to give them credit. They know what they're doing. So you say, God bless and keep it moving.
I just really miss Kobe Bryant, man. I can't believe it's been a year, gone, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. You know, it's the reason why it happened. But I believe that, you know, he's in a better place. His daughter's in a better place. And God bless his wife for hanging in there.
Yeah.
We all hurt on tragedies. But like I said, God doesn't make mistakes.
Well, Kobe
hurt,
was
man.
Getting into really business, and it got really early to leave.
Yeah,
early to leave, man. And I wish we could have seen his daughter. Gianna play basketball. I, man. Can you imagine that girl being 20 years old playing basketball? She would have been phenomenal.
That's how it goes. Yeah, like I say, it happens to the best of them. Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Hey, but Gene, what about your Raiders, man? You talk about, you know, the Raiders upcoming draft, and also, you know, I know you're not a Raider fan no more, but what's the situation with the Oklahoma, with the Oakland A's? Are they going to get a new stadium or what?
Man, we got to do this first.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering voicelessly. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for some football? You ain't ready for some football.
Gary, spit with the nation. You still with the nation. You can't fool me, Gary. You still the nation.
Yeah, that's right. Well, actually, yes, they did very well. They drafted defensively this year, which is very, very different. And look, I am not sold on Mr. Gruden and his coaching skills. This will be year number five.
Man, that guy's a thief, man. He stole money from the nation, man.
This will be year number five.
Look, he won with Tony Dungy players. Let's be honest.
Well, what he did, and people don't take it seriously, when he was in Oakland, 2000, he got traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
He took the Oakland Raider playbook with him to Tampa Bay.
Yes, sir.
This dumb coach in Oakland did not change the play.
So now, who called that?
The Raiders played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gruden knew every single player they ran.
Yeah, who fought is that guy for the coach being that stupid not to change
stuff
up?
The coach being stupid.
It was embarrassment.
When you play baseball knows this. When you trade a player, you change your size.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's top one. Yeah, well, he definitely showed he was stupid.
I mean, that's unreal. You let a guy beat you with your own blade. Which is what
I don't know why you surprised, Gary.
But how lazy is that?
Hey.
That's laziness.
That's what they do. No, they could care less. All they want to do is just go ahead and get in there and, you know, get the money and keep it moving.
I got the Mets. I got the Mets. Bring your kitty. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Because the Mets are really sucking the ball. Knocking those home runs over the wall. These five West Side. Everybody come down to meet the MPTS Mets of New York. You
know you're wrong for that, man. You know T-Mac's wrong for that.
In the first place in the National League, I do not believe. What are they doing?
Hey, nothing surprised me anymore. I ain't gonna lie to you, G.
That's unbelievable.
It don't surprise me at all.
I'm happy to see the team. But they gotta take care of the groom. Because if the groom goes down, the Mets are gonna win the East.
Well, we know how that go. They gonna pick it up one way or another. We know how that go.
Yeah, I wonder why the
Well, right now they're still in the funk. They're not doing like they should. And if you look at Strasburg, been pitching okay, but he's not to his old self. But what about my Washington Wizards? How about, Gary? Give me some love from Russell Westbrook.
Okay. Boys and girls.
Hey, but look, Gary, this is what I want to talk about.
You the Washington Wizards are in the playoffs, and they have a guy.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Brooks didn't save his job because Bradley Beal has an injury, and I don't think they're going to get out the first round of the playing game.
Well, I'll tell you what. Russell Westbrook has impressed me because I was never a Russell Westbrook fan.
Yeah.
But what he did this year was amazing.
Well, see, they need to give the man credit because he took a nothing team, put him on his back, and willed
him to
win. That's
right, and gave him to the playoffs. It's like Stephon Curry out here in the West Coast, same thing.
Yep.
I give Russell Westbrook a new name. Russell Westbrook is the James Brown of the NBA. Is what I call James Brown of the NBA.
Yes, sir.
James Brown is the hardest working man on stage. Russell Westbrook is the hardest playing player in the NBA, today.
Yep, I
Russell,
agree.
It don't look pretty. It don't look pretty, but he gets it done.
Yep.
It doesn't look pretty.
Give him credit. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Give him credit.
Now,
I just say God
you
bless
think
him.
You're
going to
do anything?
No. First of all, Brooks needs to be fired. The worst thing they could do is give him a 1 year extension and come back. I mean, I think the team has done well, but I think it's time for a fresh voice. You know, Gary, I'm gonna say this. I think they need to bring the assistant coach from the San Antonio Spurs, a young lady that her name escapes me.
Yeah.
Let her come in and be the new coach and retool that team, and I think they can do some things. Westbrook has already shown he still got plenty of gas in the tank, but they got to retool that team because Scott Brooks' time is gone. He's been there a long time.
How many more years can Westbrook be able to do this? The way he plays?
Man is in shape. As long as he doesn't have a major injury, a knee, or any kind of head injury, he could play another 3 or 4 years. Look at our nine. And look, and if you give it the right team, you come off the bench and be a spark plug like a Calvin Murphy. Remember old Calvin Murphy? You played with
the Rockets
back in the day? I mean, you can play on the team.
You beat up Andy underneath the playoff one year. I don't forget that.
Westbrook is only 6'3". And like Kobe said, you better be glad Allen Iverson 6'1", not 6'6". Because he would have been the baddest player in the NBA with that heart and his toughness. And look, football was his baddest sport. I've seen him in high school football. He played football better than he did basketball.
Well, I saw a tape of him. Where he ran this guy over, and I told you, man.
He was down in Hampton. His name was Bubba Chuck. He caught a punt, did a 360 spin, and juked two guys out and took it to the house on the sideline, and couldn't nobody touch him. And like I said, he was a better football player than he was basketball. That's why he got that football mentality on the basketball court. That's why he's so tough.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. All right, Big G, I got the roll. Got to get back to the JOB.
Right. Thank you,
bro. Hey.
Thank you for coming in.
Hang in there, G.
I will do that.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a break here. Take a break right here.
We'll be right back.
dogs. News of the week, Derby winner Medina Spirit fails drug test. And, of course, Baffert never got suspended. Neither have been the Orsville race today. In the Preakness, Friday, he failed a drug test and a trainer got sued. So figure. Very impressed with football wideout Metcalf, who ran the 100-yard dash with only a quarter of a second of the lead, and as like, you know, 4 feet. But a good try for Metcalf, and he tried against the rest of the high school, 100-yard dash. John Tortorella, the coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, will not be there next week. And Columbus is moving in a different direction as the NHL playoffs started last night with the Winnipeg Jets beating the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2 last night. Monday, the New York Mets plays Victor DeGrom on the IL list. We're turning this out here and not fit this week at all. The Tampa Bay Lightning have an all-black line, which I think is wrong because I think the Winnipeg Jets were the first ones to have an all-black line. But Tampa Bay Lightning has the first black line since then. The Panthers, they played the Panthers. Matthew Joseph, Kamel Smith, and Danielle Welcott made history again, and they played on Monday night. The Americans, the Atlanta Dream, have an all-black, all-female broadcasting crew this year. Historical moment for the Atlanta, congratulations to the Atlanta Dream. Russell Westbrook broke the record of Oscar Robertson with 182nd triple-double in the 125-124 loss to Atlanta. But you know that. And congratulations to Mr. Westbrook. Indiana's coastline area visitor to protect Mr. Wentz. Mr. had torn Achilles in the AFC Championship game for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he moves over to Indianapolis. He trades his red for blue in the 2021 season. Major League Baseball gave the green light to the Oakland A's. Look for another city in as the Oakland City Council once again moves around with the Howard Waterfront Ballpark. Gotta make a decision before June. How is it gonna happen? Now, this will be the third strike for the Oakland Sleeve. They lost the Raiders to Vegas. They lost the Warriors to San Francisco. And now the possibility of losing the A's to who knows where. Manchester City wins its fifth Premier League in the soccer in England. Congratulations to Manchester City and their players. Wednesday, the NBC mourns the passing of 29-year-old Fordstein, St. Louis University Billiken coach, became ill at the end of the season died Wednesday afternoon. Thursday, by 12 hours, George Kalia Goff, as the new commissioner of the Pac-12 on Thursday afternoon. The 22 women in the Watson case will not or do not want to say the case is going to court. I think Mr. Watson might be out of playing the NFL this year because of these court cases. The NBA will create a new award, so the judges named the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award for social justice in the NBA. The A-Rod Group, Alex Rodriguez Group, is in the final stages of being a part of the Timberwolves, buying a part of the Timberwolves at a low cost of $1.5 billion. Jerry West, the NBA icon, not happy being left out top five of the Lakers. I mean, Lakers got so many stars. Jerry, just chill. You're number six, number seven. Who cares? The Lakers. Come on. Chris Webber is out of TNT after 13 years. I can't believe it. They just fired Chris Webber. It's a weird time during the playoffs you do this. The Yankees might have a major problem as the COVID-19 outbreak with their coaches and players. I'm going to play a clip about this. This is the clip.
If you get the shot, you basically can ditch the mask nearly everywhere, the CDC says.
So look, as America rejoiced this news...
I guess we could take them off, right? Yeah, so that's great. I haven't heard this, and I'm excited.
That the CDC recommends fully vaxxed citizens do not need to wear their masks.
I am very nervous that people, including my own patients, are going to be not only confused, but also feel like they should still wear masks because they don't know if they can trust the person next to them.
Oh, you mean like...
So we only made it about 4 hours today at Disney World because my family kind of hates amusement parks. First of all, it was harder than hell out there, like a whore in church. And Disney, you're kind of mask holes, I'm not going to lie. Always up in our business.
Lisa Wilson, promoter of debunked Trumpian drug, hydroxychloroquine.
You don't feel any guilt. You don't feel bad about this. You don't worry. Because it's just your world. It's only, although you care about...
Or this person, I concur, Doc.
People who've been vaccinated now, they really do need to get the feel that we're approaching some form of normality.
Let me be clear. This is great news. However, it's not like there is zero cause for concern. The most glaring example is the New York Yankees.
With the vaccine, mm-hmm. still after getting vaccinated, there's a chance people could still
Correct.
Pick up the virus.
People need to know the terminology. Breakthrough cases. We can expect them. They will happen.
Well, according to ABC Action News, the team received the Johnson & Johnson shot in March. It's now May. 7 of the 8 cases are asymptomatic. While these breakthrough cases are still low, they are indeed occurring, according to the on-air reporter Jameson Euler, quoting Yankees GM Brian Cashman. All the cases are of the COVID variants, which again alludes to one simple task we should have in society. Get vaccinated so these mutations do not fester. The one thing I take from this, I believe the vaccine is working, Cashman said. We've got 8 positives, 7 of the 8 presented as without symptoms. The Washington Post reports the CDC had previously warned that no vaccine is 100% foolproof and that a small percentage of people who are fully vaccinated will still get COVID if they are exposed to the virus that causes it. Such people are deemed breakthrough cases, and the Yankees are now the first pro sports team to have an outbreak of them.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine in clinical trials found overall efficacy here in the U.S. of 72%, not 100%. It was, however, 100% effective in keeping people out of the hospital and saving lives. So again, that's with the J&J vaccine. We have to remember these vaccines, They're doing their job. They're dropping cases. They're saving lives. They're keeping people out of the hospital. That does not mean that they will eradicate this virus, so we have to take this with a big chunk of salt.
Dr. Jonathan Reiner, professor of medicine and surgery at George Washington University, told CNN, if someone does get COVID after being fully vaccinated, the symptoms will likely be far less severe than if they didn't get vaccinated at all. Again, please get vaccinated. In my view, a point that has not been put out enough. Yankees shortstop Gleyber Torres tested positive for a second time. His first positive test came all the way back in December 2020. He is fully vaccinated. Kosti Sifri, director of hospital epidemiology at UVA Health, said you also have the possibility to find people who have had past infection, lingering positive tests that reflect past infection, because we found that people in some instances can test positive for a significant period of time, sometimes a couple months after previous infection. For the anti-science crowd, one outlet actually put this in fine writing. It's not possible to get COVID from any of these three vaccines because none of them contain coronavirus. This is certainly how politicized it has become.
So they ever go? I'm telling you, or urging you to please get vaccinated. Just get vaccinated. Friday, Antonio Brown was sued by a moving van company after he saw a battery charge. Friday, Jimmy Smith well served his master as he supports the Giants getting Tebow. And we won't go back into that again, but Jimmy Smith is what we call Sambo, Uncle Remus, Uncle Tom, this is it right here. You make it publicly known that you support the Tebow signing. Jimmy Smith, there's an X on your uniform. I told you, it's May 15th. Beware. I'm only telling you, my brother. You just get your mouth shut and play the game. But there you go. WNBA and NBA head coach Nikki Cole hired to replace Miss Mulkey at Baylor University. The league was started last night. And the New York Liberty wins that night with a buzzer beater by Sabrina Ionescu from California. Liberty win their first game of the year. And the WNBA is off to a good start. NHL is now official. Seattle Kraken is a member of the National Hockey League. As they gave their last payment into the league. So welcome to the NHL, Seattle Kraken. Head coach Rick Tocchet will now return for the Arizona Coyotes. That's two coaches down. Two new coaching openings, the Arizona Coyotes and the Columbus Blue Jackets. At the start of the year, the only team looking at the start of the week, the Montreal Canadiens were the only team to get a playoff spot in that Canadian division. Now it's all done. The Edmonton Oilers were the last ones to get their buzzer ticket. The playoffs will start. Yesterday, as the Winnipeg Jets beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2, Kyle Connor got 2 goals in the first match. They play again tomorrow night. Today at 4 o'clock Pacific time, Boston is at Washington. Sunday is a fourth date, a fourth late. The Islanders are at Pittsburgh, Minnesota's at Vegas. Tampa Bay is at Florida in the Sunshine Battle. And Calgary is at Vancouver in the Battle of the Western Canada. That'll be Sunday's games. So tonight, Boston at Washington at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Speaking of hockey, you can get it on time. This is good. Go ahead and get it on time.
What's up here? I had to get my bets in for the Preakness. It is crazy over here. I couldn't believe it.
Okay. What would you bet?
We're looking at the 3, Medina Spirit, the 8, Unbridled Honor, a humor, and the 9, Risk Taking. The 9 especially seems intriguing.
If you win the money, that's going to get the money to your cousin, down there in Louisiana.
Well, I tell you, Thoroughbred Racing is going to mess up big time if this doesn't shake out right. What I mean by that is they've made a commitment to this. If they get what they want, then they've got a potential Triple Crown winner.
What are they going to do?
Yes, but they didn't change the fact that what mattered most was that there wasn't a black eye for the industry. This is a big deal. They know, no matter what, somebody is sitting on this hoping for the worst, because then they can make whatever changes they want. But if Medina Spirit wins, then you got a potential Triple Crown horse, and everything changes.
I need to play with fire. Because if Medina Spirit wins tonight, which I think he will.
Yep.
All the money will go in Belmont, a Triple Crown possibility. And you need to go forget about what happened in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, that's what they want, G. You got to remember, Thoroughbred Racing doesn't get a lot of publicity, and they don't take up much of the people's interest anymore, except when the Triple Crown comes and the Breeders' Cup. So between those two issues, they got to make their bones. And the last thing they need is some bad publicity coming around and messing them up while they're in the midst of their prime time thing. That's very important to understand.
Wow. So you need to let it go.
Well, look, as far as I can see it, they're going to try their best to take advantage of the day. If Medina Spirit wins, all is forgiven. And you got a Triple Crown winner. If Medina Spirit loses, then whatever probe they're going to do, whether or not the horse cheated, that will go away. They won't care. So, this is win-win.
What time is the post time?
Post time is 6:50.
Okay.
On the East Coast,
3:50
where you
go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hour to go. Have you been watching the NHL playoffs begin this week?
That's right. You gotta love the NHL. They've been holding up their end in producing a good product.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I like the All-Canadian division yet, but at least they know they're competitive. People are watching them. And, you know, postseason, the hockey, the level of it is always very good. I don't expect much drop off. Yep.
And they're already moaning about the losses, the first game losses, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Oh, here we go already.
This is a cultural thing for Canada. You know, the last thing they want is to not do well in the playoffs.
Well, why the league? Why are the Maple Leafs so hard to play? Why can't he win the playoffs?
It matters to them because they really don't have anything else.
yeah.
It's kind of funny when I say that, you know, hockey is big. And
Montreal plays Toronto for the Canadian division.
Right.
Would that really boost the NHL viewership in Canada?
Well, however they do this, one thing we know, Canada will present hockey in its best light, no matter what. That's a definite. I don't know whether or not this new format will create problems, but hockey has been consistent. Their product has been very good in the postseason. So when you're watching postseason hockey, you're really entertained. There's no real emphasis on fighting. You know, everybody's trying to put their best foot forward.
Well, we do know one thing. There will be a Canadian quarterback. We do know that.
Right. We know that. And maybe they did that for the express purpose of having it set up that way.
Yeah.
All I know is what they got to make sure is that the quality of the product remains high. Everybody ramps it up in the playoffs. And I think hockey over the last five seasons has done the best job of putting their product out and saying, this is how we do it. And it's very entertaining.
I think there's going to be a change in San Jose Sharks. I think there's going to be a major change in the Sharks.
The Sharks are going to have to change up. They were successful for a few years. Unfortunately, very few people outside of San Jose knew who they were.
That's
the league's fault. The league should have did a better job of making sure there was more. And that wasn't just San Jose. It was Los Angeles, too, where Jonathan Quick and the Kings were very good. They could have played that. And they didn't. You know, they always stuck with their Time War crap with Pittsburgh and Detroit and Chicago. Nothing wrong. If you're trying to expand the game, you got to show people that the game is going elsewhere.
Yeah.
If they showed those San Jose teams and those LA King teams, I think more overall fans would have enjoyed the product better.
Yeah.
LA
is
going everywhere now.
I think you're gonna get a new coach and a new GM in San Jose. We got one going right now, and they can't go on like this.
Right. They can't go on like this. But, you know, something's got to be done. Otherwise, they're going to end up running in place. They're going to stagnate.
Yeah.
Hockey is fresh right now. They need to take advantage of the bump that they got from the COVID and really look to present their game in a way where they can see everybody digging it. I just don't think they've done that good a job yet. Although they have made some inroads. They got a new contract. And because of that, more teams will be exposed to the overall hockey map. That's not a bad thing.
I wanted to skip over to baseball for a quick second.
Yeah.
The Oakland A's and Major League Baseball has released the A's. They can look at other venues.
Yeah.
You know, the A's, if they find another thing to go to, I think it's going to be a dead zone for Oakland.
Yeah.
I don't know why Oakland did what they did. They had the market pretty much to themselves after the Warriors left. They should have tried to take advantage of the fact that they were the only game in town.
Yep.
That's something that the mayor and other people should be called out on the carpet for, because even a baseball team playing at the level of the A's is valuable. And they just aren't showing that value to the public at large.
Well, Michael, this is the third mayor under with this problem. This is the third one, and this is the only mayor that really took a positive interest in the A's. If this mayor doesn't get it done, it's over.
Well, look, three mayors ain't right. Somebody should have put this on the front burner, and they didn't. So it takes a whole different mindset. You mentioned San Jose and other places around, but they got to deal with eminent domain.
That's right.
I don't think anybody's really thinking about Oakland first, and that says more about the situation than anything else.
I just really annoyed with the Oakland Coliseum, the Coliseum Council, and the Oakland City Council. Both of them cannot do anything.
Yeah. Look, Oakland knows, or at least they should know, if their mayor really gives a damn about the city. They had to have seen other cities be taken hostage for new stadiums and things like that. But there's a way that they can make this work, and nobody has to take anybody hostage. I just don't think they really care. You know, you would think after losing the Raiders, they would show up the desire to want to make sure that Oakland has a sports team. Because the Golden State Warriors,
I believe the A's are out of here. I think they're already gone.
Uh-huh.
They're already gone. Now, what you got cooking for tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow night, Curtis Mayfield, James Brown. I got to say no more than that.
Russell Westbrook.
So it's going to be some good earthy stuff. You know, we love Curtis and James.
Yep.
Getting down finally at the quarterfinals and picking off. After these shows, it'll be semifinal action.
Yep.
And our final four will be established.
Thank you, my brother.
You're welcome, brother. See you later.
I hope we have a great, great NBA and NHL playoffs the next 2 months. Come back into the Cove. A little bit more news here. Kentucky, HBCUs, Talladega State return to college football since everything in World War II. Grambling. We'll take a new offensive coordinator, Eric Marty, from California, really junior college. So Grambling football team will get a new assistant coach, offensive coordinator, Eric Marty. Greg Ivory resigned at Arkansas. and it's like South West Asian government agrees with Pepsi with a 5-year multi-million-dollar contract. So Pepsi will be advertised in spring football games. Texas State baseball finished the year with undefeated conference record. North Carolina Central will discontinue baseball this year. Christina will name interim coach at Southern University. There you got HBCU news. BJ was the last Wells Fargo championship in North Carolina. Last week, this week, then we had the AT&T Byron Classic in Texas. Last week, it was the Honda LPGA in Thailand. This week, they're off. Next week, they'll be in the United States for the Pure Silk Championship in Williamsburg, Virginia. WTA, the men are in Rome, Geneva, and Lyon, while ladies are in Morocco, Serbia, and Italy. They're all getting ready for the French Open. The French Open is at the end of the month. Good luck, ladies and men. NASCAR, last week they're driving to South Carolina. IndyCar, this week they're at the GMR Grand Prix. It was on TV this morning. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it was a 2-hour show this morning on Fox News or Fox Sports. Next week they're off, but it's staying in the state of Indiana. For the last weekend in May, the Indianapolis 500. Last week in the Formula One, Spanish Grand Prix, at Bogota, the first test of practice. Hamilton takes the second and third test of practice. And Hamilton gets his 100 career pole on Sunday. Of course, Hamilton wins his 6th Spanish Grand Prix as he takes the lead in the late laps with the Red Bull team and Verstappen on the heels of the Mercedes team. Hamilton has won 3 of the 4 races in 2021. This weekend they are off before they go to Italy. And there you have it for today. Hope you have a good weekend. See you tomorrow night for the Music Buzz Hour, and then at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, Michael Lewis Ingram, the Ring of the Raw, as we continue the singles men's tournament, as we get down to the final four. Have a good night, and a good week. See you.